You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
What is up? Welcome to another edition of the NFL Fantasy Live Podcast. Meet your man, MG Marcus Grant, alongside the Fantasy Hall of Famer Michael Fabiano, as well as our man Graham Barfield. Which, Graham, welcome back. You were on like death's door last week, man.
I was on the sofa for 5 days, didn't move, had a terrible sinus infection, still a little nasally in the voice, and you might hear me at some point in the show, but I'm feeling much better.
Not good. For nothing, though. Because I think the NFL is trying to get us all sick. Because our newsroom this morning, like, I get it, great game last night in Chicago. It doesn't need to be that cold in our newsroom. And then the studio this morning, I mean, it had to be maybe 55 degrees in there. It's ridiculous. Well, you know, they're trying to grow reindeer or something around here.
It makes sense, right? Because you know that the playoffs are coming, Super Bowl's coming, so you want all your people to get sick and rest up now.
Is that it?
You don't want them to be sick Super Bowl week, you know, so they get it out of the way.
I may or may not have seen icicles coming out of the sink in the kitchen this morning.
I'm serious, dude.
Wouldn't doubt it. Would not doubt it. Yeah. It's freezing in that newsroom lately. Yeah, behind the glass, where hopefully it's a little bit warmer, as always, our producer, Senior Edward L. Murphy, Esquire. Murph, what's up?
Yeah, thanks for the heads up. Now that I know it's cold, I'll avoid that room the rest of the day. But,
yeah, do that.
I got to say, fantasy is so... I mean, I'm good the whole season, lose now in the playoffs. Like, my team, the Giants, stink most of the year. They're scoring... They score 30 points against the Bears. The Rams can only score 6. The NFL makes no sense. Fantasy makes no sense. So, yeah. That's where I'm at.
You can go ahead and use that L word if you want. A lot of luck involved.
There is.
It is what it is.
It seems that way.
There absolutely is.
Yep.
We got lots to talk about. It was a weird week 14. We'll go through the good, the bad, and the weird of it. And, we'll kind of weigh in on what we think was the best, worst, and weirdest of the week. Also, our playoff week 2 look ahead with who could be the hero and who could be the villain. Of course, Monday Moaning, which is always sadder when you get to fantasy playoff time, too. Yeah. So we'll get some of your tweets there and then some of your mailbag questions as well. But first, let's do some news.
Let's hear the news.
Tyreek Hill left the game on Sunday against the Ravens with a foot injury. He did come back later in the game, but afterwards told Peter King of the Monday Morning Quarterback, or formerly of Monday Morning Quarterback fame, I guess, that the injured foot is, quote, bad. Now, Fabs, this is terrible news at a time when fantasy folks have gotten lots of terrible news. We talked about all the running backs who were injured, you know, Emmanuel Sanders lost for the year.
Yep.
Now to potentially lose Tyreek Hill, or at least have Tyreek Hill at less than 100% right now, is more bad.
I mean, it was good to see him play through it, but they've got a short week.
Mm-hmm.
You've got the Lightning Bolts this week on Thursday Night Football, which should be a hell of a game. I know Marcus, he's going to be picking up Kelvin Benjamin in all of his leagues this week. All of them.
Not even.
But it is bad news. And for those of you who get to week 16 and for some reason maybe some play in week 17, I'll never know why.
Friends don't let friends play week 17.
You would think Tyreek Hill, assuming the Chiefs have sort of clinched everything, will be resting some of their players. So Tyreek Hill could be on that list depending on how serious this foot injury actually is.
I mean, real talk, though. I mean, you know, I laugh, kind of joke about Kelvin Benjamin, what have you. But Graham, I mean, Chris Conley is kind of a name maybe to keep in your back pocket, I would think, this week.
I mean, it's kind of crazy to think Sammy Watkins obviously is going to probably miss the rest of the regular season
dealing with his
foot injury. It's kind of crazy to think Conley could walk into week 15 and be their lead boundary receiver, but that's kind of what we're looking at. I mean, still, even without Sammy Watkins, I mean, Tyreek Hill has just been on a tear. He has 10, 14, 6, and 14 targets. In his last four games, obviously had the one weird 1-for-13 bad game, you know, 2 weeks ago, but still, I mean, he's just been...
That cost me a playoff spot.
He has just been shredding without Sammy Watkins. Obviously, would be huge if he missed week 15, but...
Right. Yeah, especially in a game... Well, obviously, for the Chiefs, obviously, it's a big deal because this is a game that has a lot to do with the AFC West. For fantasy folks, it's a game that potentially could be very high scoring, so to not have Tyreek Hill there is going to be bad.
Yeah, interestingly, like, this could decide the first round bye in the AFC now.
Yeah.
Because yesterday, Houston, if Houston would have beat Indy, they would have been in the running for that, still be in the running for that first round. By now, the Chiefs and Chargers are right there. So, yeah, 1-2.
The Chiefs right now are in that one spot. The Patriots losing, you know, they're not out of it, but it certainly makes it a little more difficult.
That was crazy, dude.
That was wild the way they lost that football game.
That Sunday of football was a reminder of why we all love the NFL, especially if you're a Cowboys fan.
Yeah. Yeah.
How about them Cowboys?
Ah, here we go.
That game was nuts, though. I mean, like, even if you're just a football fan, the second half with Dak, the ups, the downs, the interceptions, the long touchdown throws, the flags, the refs.
Oh, we will.
All of it.
We'll get to some of that because Amari Cooper went
ballistic.
So. Yeah. Elsewhere, LeSean McCoy left yesterday's game for the Bills with an injured hamstring. The reports right now are that he is day to day. I mean, Graham, does this matter? Because Josh Allen obviously is the RB1 there in Buffalo, right? So they don't even need LeSean McCoy now.
Yeah, meh. Whatever. Like, it is what it is. I mean, look, Josh Allen is averaging 7.4 yards per carry.
It's insane.
I mean, I don't really know what to do. I mean, at this point, for fantasy, we just kind of have to take the rushing numbers and be happy with
it. Detroit, he's had 335 rushing yards in his last three games. That's the most by a quarterback in a three-game stretch since 1970. And, I mean, you look at this. He had three turnovers yesterday, and he still scored 20 points.
Yeah.
Running quarterbacks, my friends. I've been preaching it for years.
It's so weird because I tweeted yesterday that, you know, I tweeted a meme of a skeleton on a bench saying that's me waiting for the rushing regression to hit. For Josh Allen and you know, Benjamin Solak on Twitter, who does stuff for Draft Network, actually responded with what I thought was actually a really smart point. It's not so much that rushing regression will hit. It's that at some point, defenses are going to say, hey, maybe we just don't let this guy run all over.
Well, what was bizarre yesterday is the Jets didn't even commit a spy on some of those plays. I mean, there was nobody in the middle of the field, and Allen was just gashing them. I mean, he averaged like 11 yards per carry. In week 14, I mean, it's so bizarre because he's only completing 50% of his passes.
Yeah, as a
thrown
passer.
Four picks. Mm-hmm. He has five sacks in the last three games. Like, as a passer, he's been abysmal.
Right, yeah.
But for fantasy, because he's rushing for nearly 100 yards on the score every game, we're just...
In fantasy, you put up good rushing totals, and it sort of covers up your deficiencies as a passer.
So I'm waiting for the defensive coordinator to say, hey, maybe we should just... with a spy in the middle of the field and not let this guy just run all over us. If and when that happens, then suddenly maybe it's a different ball game for Josh Allen. And you know, maybe that means more LeSean McCoy if he gets healthy and back on the field. If their quarterback's not running, somebody's got to run.
Well, I mean, you probably be looking at Chris Ivory as a waiver wire ad. He led the backfield in touches yesterday, but it's an uninspiring one.
It is very uninspiring.
Yes, yes.
A little bit more inspiring, at least, is the running back situation for the L.A. Chargers. Austin Eckler did suffer a stinger yesterday. Had a very good first half. Was kind of meh in the second half, but he had done a lot of his damage early. But there's always a chance that Melvin Gordon comes back for Thursday Night Football. Fabs, I guess this means, though, that we're keeping an eye on Austin Eckler, because if he doesn't go, it's Justin Jackson. If not, I mean, this is one I think we're going to have to monitor all week.
Yeah, no doubt about that. I mean, I'd kind of be surprised if Gordon came back. I mean, obviously, it is a big game, but they want to have him at 100% for the playoffs because that's what's most important for the Bolts. But Eckler with the stinger, Justin Jackson was a big bust. A lot of people out there liked him to sort of take over the Gordon role, and Eckler would fall back into the Eckler role. And unfortunately for those who did not play Eckler or started Justin Jackson, the opposite was true, and Eckler went out and had a big, big game. I can't remember a defense that has been this bad week in and week out against one position like the Bengals are against running backs. If you start a running back against the Bengals, you're guaranteed to get a nice stat line. Guaranteed. And anybody who started Eckler in that game was probably very glad to do it because he helped you get to the next round of the playoffs.
I'm looking
wait a minute, who's playing?
So does this mean we're all in on Doug Martin this week?
Yes.
All right.
And you know who they play the following week?
Oh, they play the Browns, so it's Nick Chubb. That'll be interesting.
I'll start Doug Martin.
I do think the one reason that you may see Melvin Gordon back is because, I mean, they could tie.
Yeah, I mean, look, this is a humongous game. They could theoretically, for as good as the Chiefs have been, for as ridiculous as Patrick Mahomes is,
right,
for the fact he might even break the single season touchdown record, the Chargers could still be the number one
seed. They could still be in the one seed. It's like, I wouldn't be surprised if Melvin Gordon comes back to play. Finally, Washington benches Mark Sanchez. He was awful. The team was awful. They got blown out. Josh Johnson. I'll remember it. I'll get it right. He comes in and, you know, he rallies them. He scores a couple of touchdowns late. He ends up as we sit here right now, he is the QB3.
It's ridiculous.
And he is projected to be the starter again next week.
Don't even ask.
I was going to say, like,
don't even ask.
Two QB leagues, like two QB leagues, maybe, you know, for the DFS minded. Do you consider it? Maybe
against Jacksonville, and I get it. The Jaguars defense hasn't been all that good this season, but that is,
yeah, that's Derrick Henry.
That is bold, man. I know that is bold.
Josh Johnson really is. Josh Johnson, the number one overall pick in the AAF.
That's right. I said yesterday the AAF is already developing NFL players, man.
Do they have fantasy football leagues for that?
They haven't even played an actual game, and they're already sending guys to the NFL. So good for them. So there it is. Yeah, so chances are you're probably not taking a shot at Josh Johnson, but, you know,
not a Redskin that you can trust.
That's
there's
basically
none. Is,
especially Jordan Reed. I mean, it took 14 weeks for him to get hurt.
Right?
So,
but he got hurt.
This is crazy. It's been the healthiest season he's ever been. It's been his worst season in terms of production. But yeah, there's not a Redskin I want right now.
It's such a dilemma for Jordan Reed. It's like I could be productive but injury prone, or I could stay healthy and not do much of anything.
And
or
how Jordan quickly Reed. have the wheels fallen off of that Redskins bandwagon, because they were the number one team in the NFC East. Yeah. Not so long ago.
I mean, really, just a handful of weeks ago.
They were first
in the division. Early in the season, like the first few weeks of the season, it looked like their defense was going to be good, and it is.
When they beat the Cowboys, when Dak fumbled in the end zone and they recovered it, they were the class of that division. Not so much anymore.
Not so much anymore. So there you go. That is pretty much everything you need to know.
That was the news.
All right. Week 14 in review. I took a handful of storylines from the week, broke them down into good, bad, and weird. I'll go over them, and then we can kind of kick around. I'm just curious to get your thoughts on which ones you guys think were the best storylines, the worst, or the weirdest. And if there's one here I missed, feel free, obviously, to jump in and throw that in as well. So we'll start with the good. So I got four of them here. You got Amari Cooper's second 30-point game in 3 weeks. Just going nuts.
Yeah, almost Eagles. 50.
Almost in PPR leagues, they gave, 47?
49-7.
Josh Allen, who the last 3 weeks has averaged 10 yards per carry, and I believe he has almost as many rushing yards on the season as LeSean McCoy now.
That's nuts.
The Giants' defense, they go over 15 fantasy points for the second straight week, which I think that was one we sort of predicted because Washington was going to be bad. Jarvis Landry awakens. Hadn't had a touchdown since week 7. Had to a rushing and a receiving touchdown, and almost had a passing touchdown on those of those four. So those are my four like kind of good stories for the week. If you had to pick one, Faz, that you think was kind of the best one,
you know where I'm going.
I mean, you're going to Amari.
Come on, man. I'm going to Amari Cooper. And when the Cowboys made the trade, I'll never forget, I walked into the newsroom, and I think it was Emily. Emily? Who had said that the Cowboys had traded for Cooper, and I said, what did we give up? First-round pick, and I was like, oh, man. Because Roy Williams and Joey Galloway instantly jumped into my head.
Well, and everyone thought that was...
I know, but...
This is a perfect both things can be true. I mean, Dallas paid too much for a receiver was in the final year of his deal. They're going to have to pay him next year. They paid too much for Amari Cooper, and Amari Cooper has been a badass for them.
Dude.
Both things can be true.
He's got 5 touchdowns in his last 2 games. He's had a 180-yard game. He's had a 217-yard game. And he has not only improved that offense tenfold, but he's made Dak Prescott very fantasy relevant once again. And at the same time, Cooper is no longer a guy that you ask, Graham, do I start him this week? Marcus, should I start Cooper this week? No.
You just start
him. He's in your lineup every single week. The whole stink of the silver and black is gone. Now, with that beautiful blue star on his helmet, Amari Cooper has reemerged. And he could end up being the fantasy football playoff MVP if he has a couple of good games. You've got the Colts next week. Could be a very high-scoring game. And then he's got the Bucks. So it's not out of the realm of possibility that Amari Cooper becomes your fantasy playoff MVP. And I'm trying to speak that into existence because it would be good for the Cowboys and we could potentially secure the NFC East, which we're close to doing. And boy, it would be nice to see the Cowboys sneak into that 3 seed. I don't know if it's going to happen, but we shall see.
All right. So of those four, Graham, is there one that stands out to you or is there one that maybe I missed that you thought was big for this week?
Just for what it's worth, Josh Allen does have more rushing yards than LeSean McCoy.
So he has more now.
Yeah.
All right. it's wild.
I mean, it's wild. But yeah, I mean, it was going to be Cooper for me too. I'd like to personally apologize first to Amari Cooper for basically the entirety of his career. I kind of doubted him and it kind of became a running joke for me on Twitter, but that bit is over. Amari Cooper, I'm sorry. You are as good as we thought you were when you came out of Alabama. You're as explosive as any player or any receiver in the NFL right now. It's remarkable. I mean, Dallas has basically turned their season around from a bottom 10 offense to a top 12 offense just by adding Amari Cooper. It's incredible.
It sort of begs the question, because obviously the overwhelming reaction was that Amari Cooper going to Dallas wasn't going to change much. You know, it's like he can't get separation. He's not going to get open. You know, Dak's not going to be able to help him all that much. Obviously, here we are, 6 weeks later, and we all have sort of egg on our face about this. So, but it does beg the question, like, what exactly were the Raiders doing? Like,
is Derek Carr just that bad?
Because it can't just be a Gruden thing, because this Amari Cooper wasn't doing much even
last
before
season.
John Gruden got there. So last it can't season, just be that, you know, hey, the coaching staff. But
it took, I mean, look at his numbers in Oakland, like, this season. 2-8, then he had 21, then he had 3-7, 26, then he had 2, and then the big move.
Yeah, like to Marcus's point, before even this year, before the Raiders got Gruden in 2017, Cooper had 680 yards in 14 games. Is 642 and 6
right
for Dallas this year. It's not like you said, it's not just a Gruden thing. It's more or less just like, I know we always want to say we want to take these talented players and put them in more advantageous situations, and rarely does it work out the way it's worked out for Amari, but like, this is genuinely one of those types of situations where Amari genuinely needed another, like a fresh start.
Apparently.
He's balling.
And that's what we talked about when the trade went down. I don't think any of us saw this coming. I didn't, and I'm a Cowboys homer. I didn't see this coming. I said, change of scenery is good. Maybe he sees a little uptick in value. I was projecting him as a wide receiver 2-3. Dude, now he's a 1 in fantasy.
He is.
He's a 1.
He absolutely is.
You know, let's talk about the Cowboys defense too. Holy cow.
Yeah, I mean,
like, it's all come together at the right time.
They've been very good, obviously, all year long, and now they've kind of, I think, kicked it up. I think as this team has gotten hot and they're winning games, this defense, I think, has sort of gone next level. One other thing, you
got so many good young players.
You mentioned those numbers last year, Graham, for Amari Cooper yardage wise. Keep in mind, how much of them came in that one game? Yeah, that one Thursday night game against the Chiefs.
Kansas City, yeah.
Yeah, and that was the bulk of them.
And that was the game where the Chiefs basically, they put Cooper in the slot in like 50% of his routes or something like that, and they just decided not to cover him.
Yeah, and if you remember, he had been bad, and so people were afraid to start him on that Thursday night game.
I believe I had him as a sit that week. I advised people to avoid Amari Cooper.
Look, Amari Cooper had not been producing since like the middle of 2016.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He'd been highly, highly inconsistent. We saw flashes of the talent, but he just never put it together, and he's gone to Dallas and fully put it together.
Yeah, it's been absolutely wild. All right, so that was the good. So now we're on to the bad. So the things that happened that we maybe didn't see happening, the things that might have forced some folks out of the playoffs this year. So the first one, the Saints offense lets you down yet again, right? And this was supposed to be the bounce back week. They were playing the Buccaneers. They needed a win. I mean, they ended up getting a win. It wasn't pretty. And offensively, you know, Drew Brees was a disappointment. Alvin Kamara wasn't great. Mark Ingram got a touchdown, which sort of salvaged his day. But on the whole, it was not a huge day for the Saints offense. So that was one. Phillip Rivers. We thought the Bengals were going to be that matchup that, you know, Rivers could just cruise against. It would be fine. He'd put up a whole bunch of points. He didn't really do that. I don't think he even got you to 15 fantasy points this week. It was kind of a slow week for him. Third, Bellatrix are back, because now it's a couple weeks in a row that Sony Michel has been underwhelming. This past week, James White, I think, got you less than 30 scrimmage yards total. James Devlin is scoring touchdowns now. It's kind of a mess, and it looks like the Patriots running back situation is back to being the same headache that it had been a couple of years ago. I mean, we'd gotten to a point where I think we had sort of figured it out and everything was fine. Now it's back to kind of being the bane of our existence yet again. And fourth, Jared Goff, Todd Gurley get shut down. Now, I had kind of warned people about Goff this week, and you know, we knew the Bears would be tough. I didn't think that Jared Goff would get you negative fantasy points.
Yeah.
I didn't think Todd Gurley would be held to, what, about 5-6 fantasy points. I mean, they were completely and utterly shut down, and chances are, if you had to play them this week, one or both of them probably really hurt your chances of advancing to the second round of the playoffs. So I'll start with you, Graham. Which of those four, or if there's another one, do you think was the most impactful, probably in a negative way this week?
All of them were incredibly impactful. I mean, if you just look back, I mean, starting with the Saints, if we look back over the last three games, their touchdown scores are Dan Arnold, Austin Carr, Keith Kirkwood twice, Tommy Lee Lewis, and Zach Line. Obviously, Drew Brees had the sneak. Mark Ingram had the late score. But, I mean, the last 3 weeks, the Saints, touchdown-wise, have not been what we were expecting.
Since that Thursday, or that Thanksgiving game, pretty much, it hasn't been great.
Yeah, it's been a fantasy killer. And, I mean, moving on to the Patriots, I mean, James White's snap rate has fallen for five straight games. He has six or fewer touches in two of his last three. He's basically gone from a PPR stud to kind of just a flex play, like what we are used to out of James White at this point. I mean, it was a really brutal week 14 from the sense of we were relying on the Saints, relying on the Patriots, relying on the Rams. So many of these players have carried teams to the fantasy playoffs, and they all...
Well, the thing about James White is that he really had been kind of the centerpiece of that offense. I mean, he was leading them in targets and catches. I mean, he had sort of been the engine of that Patriots offense until recently.
I think he had one touch in the first half yesterday.
Yeah, it was ridiculous. It was ridiculous. And Marcus is making good points on all these. But the Saints is the one that surprises me the most. I'm not surprised Jared Goff had a bad game.
Right.
Because he's not good in the cold. And he's quickly gaining a reputation as a quarterback who's not good in the cold. So if the Saints have home field advantage, they better jack up the air conditioning in the NFC Championship game. If they play against the Rams, that'll be good. Get it down to about 30 degrees. But it's been a complete reversal of fortunes because, I mean, Alvin Kamara every single week was almost guaranteed to give you over 20 fantasy points. In his last four games, 10, 15, or last three games, 10, 15, and 15. Not going to get it done from your first round pick. Mark Ingram, you mentioned it, got into the end zone, didn't have a huge game yardage-wise. Michael Thomas was very good in PPR leagues, but over his last three games, sort of overall been a little bit underwhelming. And Drew Brees, and I talked about it on TV, I said to trade him 6 weeks ago. In his last two games, he's averaged right around 10 fantasy points. And there's a stat that I knew about it. I didn't use it because I'm thinking, no, this is a bounce-back game. It's got to happen. Brees, in the last 3 years, including yesterday, has averaged fewer than 10 fantasy points in Tampa Bay. Okay? I don't know why, because the Bucs defense has been garbage, but it was like Derek Brooks and Warren Sapp out there, you know, in this contest. And Brees could not get it done, and he is single-handedly at a position that's really deep, probably cost you a chance at a championship because he gave you a stinker against the Cowboys and he stunk against the Buccaneers. And that's a big surprise to me because Brees in that offense, especially after what they did to the Eagles, I mean, that game was like, wow, this is the best team in the National Football League. They have really hurt you, not only with their lack of consistency, the lack of production from Brees, but the fact that when the points did come, you mentioned it, you know, Arnold, Kirkwood, Zach Line scored a touchdown. Who are these guys? Give us some guys that were starting in our fantasy league. So the Saints have been they've won, but they certainly didn't win from a fantasy perspective.
Crazily, all these odd guys scoring touchdowns, and Taysom Hill hasn't been one of them.
I know.
I kind of figured he would have been one.
Yep.
Because that's just the way the season is going. All right, so now on to the weird. Just a bunch of just goofy things that you couldn't necessarily predict. One, the Derrick Henry 47-point explosion, which ended up being the same in both standard and PPR because he did not – I don't think he had a single target. I know he didn't –
No, he did. I think he got targeted like once or twice. He was 5 yards, Marcus, from breaking the record that Shannon Sharpe set in 2012 for receiving yards. You don't – like just – bubble screen, just throw it out there and let him run for 5 yards and he breaks the record and they don't do it. I don't know why.
So yeah, Brandon Bolden scoring two touchdowns against the Patriots in a game. No.
How many people even knew that he was on the Dolphins?
I didn't. You know, honestly didn't. I saw Brandon Bolden score a touchdown and I'm like, Belichick scar. And I'm like, oh, wait, no, he's a Dolphin now. Mm-hmm. Okay. George Kittle's tale of two halves, 210 yards in the first half, zero in the second. And then I mentioned earlier, Josh Johnson, a top three quarterback coming in and like, obviously no one played him. No one expected him to play for Washington on Sunday, but he comes in after Mark Sanchez looks awful. Washington's getting blown out. So Johnson comes in. He's a top three quarterback, and now he's getting a start coming up in week 15. Fabs, of those four things, which is the most like WTF of them to you?
It's got to be Derrick Henry to me, because not only had he not produced big numbers all season long, but you know, the Jaguars had given up, I think, four rushing touchdowns all year to running backs, and they gave up four in one game. And he had that one big 99-yard run where he was basically punching Jaguars defenders in the mouth, and Jaguars defenders were missing tackles. It was unreal, but the performance was phenomenal, and very few people benefited from it. I mean,
right.
Al Bundy's four touchdowns in 1966 for Polk High, Derrick Henry's four touchdowns against the Jaguars, they helped about the same number of fantasy players because nobody was playing him, because not only was he not producing huge numbers, but the matchup was bad. And I had our research guys look up. So we had Derrick Henry went for 238. Then we had Amari go for over 200. And we had George Kittle go for over 200. I was like, how many times has a running back had 200 and then two receivers had 200 in the same week? And it looks like it's only happened a handful of times in the history of the National Football League. Mm-hmm. But it's happened twice since 2012. Before that, there was a game 1985, or a week in 1985. Joe Morris.
Okay.
George Rogers.
Uh-huh.
Stephon Page.
Wow. All
and right. then Drew Hill of the Houston Oilers. Yeah. So a very surprising stat line from Henry, considering his lack of production. And I believe he went, Marcus, from at the time, from low to mid 30s at running back to 16.
Wow.
Based on one game.
He had not had a 60-yard rushing game all season. Mm-hmm. That's how bad it was.
Yep.
Graham, your big case of weirdness out of this this group.
Yeah, Henry went from the RB39 to RB21 in PPR.
Unreal. Unreal.
It's going to be hilarious when we're all looking back and being like,
he was
Derrick Henry was an RB2 this year.
He was a top 25 running back. Yeah.
Yeah, you know? That was great. I mean, Derrick Henry, if you trust the process here, Derrick Henry was a terrible fantasy player.
Of course
this
he was.
Week against the Jags. I mean, Deion Lewis has been basically the lead back there all year. How can it not be Derrick Henry? I mean, like, what do you think? How many people do you think actually started him this past week?
Now, I believe that
the percentage,
it was like 14%.
Yeah.
But now I break that down, because how many of those people were actually in their fantasy playoffs?
How many of those are active leagues?
Right. How many were people who just like had quit and just never took Derrick Henry out of their lineup, you know, on a weekly basis?
I'd have to bet the actual percentage for like a playoff team is like less than 5%.
Oh, I would think so.
I think I saw, I cannot remember who I saw it from, but I remember seeing a screenshot. Someone faced Cooper Kittle.
Yeah, it was Ian Rappaport.
Was that Ian Rappaport?
Yeah.
He faced Cooper Kittle and Henry.
Yeah.
Could you imagine the bad luck? That was like 300 points right there.
He said he was down 100 points and he had one of the best teams in the league going into the playoffs.
That's off. That's brutal.
Luck, not Andrew.
That is
bad luck.
Brutal. Yeah, it was funny because it was a weird week also, in the sense, and I didn't even put this in here, just the number of like vultured rushing touchdowns, you know, that happened this week. I mean, yeah, I mentioned the Brandon Bolden getting two. You know, you've got the
Zach Line.
You've got the Bears play action faking to Akeem Hicks only to throw it to a backup, you know, offensive lineman. You know, it's like it was a weird week fantasy wise. And so if you survived, congratulations, man, because between the, you know, injuries, guys missing, weird touchdowns, I think there are going to be a lot of really good fantasy teams that got bounced out of the playoffs this week.
Yeah, especially, you know, and I thought of you too, because you have the number one seed in our league. You have Todd Gurley, and boy, if you have Gurley and you didn't get a bye, I mean, your season's over. And if you do have a bye, you dodged the biggest bullet in fantasy football this season.
I know we put the Jared Goff and the Rams getting shut down as the bad, but like that was also just beyond bizarre. The Rams did not adjust in that game. Sean McVay did not adjust. They were getting basically their interior offensive line was just getting shredded the entire game, and they did nothing to adjust for that.
Yeah. Yeah. It was just a weird game. I mean, credit the Bears, obviously, for coming up with a good game plan to slow them down. But it was just, at some point, you were just waiting for the Rams to do something, right? You were waiting for Gurley to break a big play, or maybe Robert Woods with a big catch and run. And it just never happened.
Well, I mean, we've seen the Rams be able to adjust, right? When you're getting destroyed through the interior, you want to check the ball down to your running back. You want to try to set up screens, get the ball over the middle, whatever the case may be. And the Rams didn't do that. That was by far Sean McVay's worst game as a head coach in his short Rams tenure so far.
Yeah, it was weird. And again, if you had to play Todd Gurley or Jared Goff, hopefully you picked up some points from elsewhere to kind of mitigate what that happened, because that wasn't great. Guys are terrible at taking care of their health, whether it's a knee injury, bad back, or something worse. Guys are usually more comfortable rubbing some dirt on it than seeing a doctor. Sort of like the time I think I tweaked my Achilles and I just sat there with an ice pack for 2 weeks and I'd be able to work through it. Anyway, the same is true for erectile dysfunction. Studies show 70% of guys who experience ED don't get treated for it. Thankfully, Roman created an easy way to get checked out by a doctor and get treated for ED online. Roman is a one-stop shop where licensed U.S. physicians can diagnose ED and ship medication right to your door. With Roman, there are no waiting rooms, awkward face-to-face conversations, or uncomfortable trips to the pharmacy. You can handle everything online. All you have to do is visit GetRoman.com/live, fill out a brief medical onboarding, chat with a doctor, and get FDA-approved ED meds delivered to your door in discreet, unmarked packaging. Erectile dysfunction is a problem that most guys don't tackle, but with Roman, it's easy to take care of. For a free online visit, go to GetRoman.com/live. That's GetRoman.com/live for a free online visit, GetRoman.com/live. All right, so for those of you who survived playoff week one, although I guess there's still one more game to be played, so I'm sure there could be some more weirdness that happens. But for those of you who are already locked in, you know you're making it to playoff week two, figure we'd look ahead. And obviously we'll preview all the games when we get to Thursday. Oh, by the way, there are Saturday games this week.
Yeah, there's two Saturday games, yep.
So that's something to kind of keep an eye on. There are a couple of Saturday games, so make sure you are prepared for that as well. But looking ahead, we each picked a hero and a villain that we predict for week two of the fantasy football playoff season. And I'll start. My week two playoff hero is I'm going with Brandon Cooks. One, because the Rams offense 2 weeks in a row has not been particularly great. It was a little bit shocking. It was not shocking to see the Bears slow them down. A little bit surprising to see them sort of sputter against the Lions. But now they're back home. They're going to be back at the Coliseum on Sunday. I believe that's a Sunday night game against the Eagles, the same Eagles secondary that's been beat up all year. And we saw get torched by Amari Cooper. I see Brandon Cooks sort of playing that Amari Cooper role in the Rams offense, being the deep threat, being the guy that they take some shots to down the field, and he can get behind that secondary. And I feel like Brandon Cooks is all set up to have a really big fantasy playoff week at a time where certainly the Rams could use it, and I think a lot of folks with Brandon Cooks on their roster could use it. Fabs.
Russell Wilson, why? Three words. Well, is it two words? San is San.
San is one word.
San Francisco.
That's one word also.
49ers.
Okay, that'd be three words.
I'm going three words there, and it's because of the matchup. It's because Russell has owned the 49ers in his career, and that's the matchup that I see Russell having. He is going to put up a monster stat line for you. And Russell's always been a second-half hero. It's ridiculous. It happens every single season. We talk about in the first half how we're worried about Russell. He's given you some inconsistent lines. And then the second half comes, and Russell turns into Superman. So I expect him to put up a nice stat line against that NFC West foe.
I don't know what it is about Pete Carroll teams that just when it gets to November, they turn it on. It was the same when he was at USC. It's been the same in the NFL with the Seahawks. Something about the calendar flipping over to November, Pete Carroll teams just seem to turn it around. So I don't know. Graham, who are you looking at?
I'm just going to be lazy and take the low-hanging fruit here and just say Amari Cooper.
All right. That's fine.
I mean, he gets the Colts next week. We don't think anybody in the Colts has anybody to even remotely come close to covering him. And he's been the most explosive playmaker in the NFL, basically outside of Tyreek Hill, since Dallas traded for him.
Yeah. No, I have no problem with low-hanging fruit. It's just as tasty as regular fruit, and you don't have to climb quite as far. So it's fine.
It's a fair point.
Yeah, you know? All right, so the flip side, if there are going to be heroes, there are going to be villains. And my villain, potentially for next week in the fantasy playoffs, Andrew Luck. I know he's had a bunch of good games, but he's got the Cowboys, and it's a really hot Cowboy team with something to play for. And credit the Dallas defense, because early on in that game, they kind of kept that thing close while the offense was just blowing chances. I mean, they dominated the ball, but they couldn't really score. They were settling for a bunch of field goals. And the defense really clamped down on the Eagles and kept that thing where the Cowboys were in the lead for a long portion of it. And finally just made some plays down the stretch. And I just think they're going to get after Andrew Luck. I think that maybe he gives you a decent number, but it's not going to be a spectacular number. And I think if that's what you're needing to get through potentially to your fantasy Super Bowl, I think the Cowboys may make life tough on Andrew Luck this week. So there you go.
You know what? When we do our Facebook thing this week, I'm wearing an Andrew Luck jersey.
Good luck to you.
You know I'm going to do it. I did it Sproles last week. Right, reverse jinx.
He scored a touchdown.
He scored, and I tweeted you, and we still won. This is 5 weeks in a row, man. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. And I know, I get it. The Cowboys' defense is really good. Andrew Luck's also really good at home. Really good. So we'll see.
All right. Who's your villain for the week?
Kenny Golladay, who I told you to sit against the Cardinals. And if you look at his matchups, dude, he has got three tough matchups, including the one that he just had against Patrick Peterson over the next couple of weeks. Stafford's lost in that offense. They don't, I mean, Zach Zenner, really? We all like LeGarrette Blount, and they gave the ball to Zenner. So now everyone's going to freak out. There's no one in Detroit you could start with any kind of confidence, including Golladay. He's got really bad matchups the next couple of weeks. I believe this week coming up, he's got Tre'Davious White. So Golladay is now someone that, as great as he looked at different times this season, you simply cannot trust. And I also think that, and we talked about this last week on the podcast too, not only are you looking at points of production, you're also looking at teams that have sort of like tanked, right? The Lions are a team they're not any good. The Cardinals aren't any good. Atlanta, they had sort of been tanking too. You know, Ryan had a couple of late touchdowns and ended up with a decent stat line, but a lot of their players haven't been producing as well. So for a Lions team that has nothing to play for and a bad matchup across the board here, Golladay is someone that I fear starting the rest of the season.
Yeah, I mean, he's been so good for so long this season, but it has kind of come crashing down the last few weeks. I think, losing Marvin Jones certainly, I think, had an impact there. Graham, who's your villain for playoff week two?
Has to be Cam Newton, dealing with a sore shoulder.
Good call by the way.
Has not looked right. During the Panthers' five-game losing stretch, he's averaged only 26 rushing yards per game. In his prior games of the rest of the season, he was at around 46 rushing yards per game. The Saints, the Panthers get the Saints in week 15, and the Saints have not allowed a top 10 quarterback in their last five games. They've held pretty much every quarterback, the last five quarterbacks they've faced, to under 18 fantasy points. I believe Matt Ryan needed 47 pass attempts to get to the QB11 finish when the Falcons played the Saints back in week 12 on Thanksgiving. I mean, you got to be, if you're playing this deep in the playoffs right now, Cam Newton cannot be your starting quarterback.
No.
Imagine that.
And it's wild because he was in the midst of, really one of the best seasons, maybe the best season he's had since his MVP season a couple years ago.
Absolutely.
And the other thing too, we had talked about this probably about midway through the season, his playoff schedule.
It was great.
So good.
It was great.
So good. Yeah.
And he just has not been healthy. Although it's meant really good things for Christian McCaffrey. So
I mean,
the upside.
Basically, that entire game, he did not throw deep all but basically the entire game except for one play, and it was wildly inaccurate. I mean, they just checked the ball down to McCaffrey. They checked it to Samuel. Ian Thomas's average depth of the target was like 2 yards.
Right.
They've really had to condense that playbook because of Cam.
The last 2 weeks, they've brought in Taylor Heinicke to throw, end of half Hail Marys. I mean, that's where we are right now.
Heinicke, I love that.
That's where we are right now. So, good luck to you if you made it through. But for those of you who didn't, I'm sure you have hit me up probably with some Monday moaning tweets. Eddie, I would assume that we had a few sad tales on Twitter today.
Of course. I can mention mine. I picked up the Giants defense, but I did not play them. And I'm probably going to get blown out anyway, but it would have been nice to have my optimal lineup in. So
right.
I can start off with that one.
Let's do a quick look at the waiver wire, too, before
we go into that. Waiver wire.
So Josh Allen has got to be on the list. Elijah McGuire's got to be on the list. If Doug Martin's out there, Bengals this week, he's got to be on the list. Chris Connolly, Chris Ivory, if you're really hurting. Kenny Stills, right? Curtis Samuel, Deshaun Hamilton, Ian Thomas is another guy. And I'm sure I missed a couple here. Defensively, Seahawks and Buffalo.
So you mentioned Kenny Stills.
Yes. Two games in a row. I'm just saying the points have been there.
He had a touchdown 2 weeks ago, but he had like 37 yards.
Right.
I don't know. I just don't know what to think with this Miami
offense. Yeah, they get the Jags and the Vikings in their next two games too.
I don't know what to think about this Miami offense. I can't with them. Kenyon Drake ends up with a decent day, but because he scores a touchdown on that last play of the game.
Yeah, he did nothing.
He had 7 touches total. One of them happened to be like a 60-yard touchdown on a broken, hook and lateral. Like, we're just going to throw the ball around and try to get in the end zone sort of play. And if Gronk doesn't stumble and fall, then who knows what happens there.
Yeah, it's funny, too, because, when you hear that term hook and ladder, what do you think of?
Well, I think of the Chargers. Well, I think more of Boise State.
I think of Boise State, too.
See, no.
Boise State and the Fiesta Bowl.
Yep.
For me, I think of the Dolphins against the then San Diego Chargers in that epic game in the playoffs.
82-83, whenever that was.
Mm-hmm.
Nowadays, I just think of Boise State and the Fiesta Bowl against Oklahoma and then Ian Johnson proposing to his cheerleader girlfriend.
I think about that, too. I know it's so random. Like, why would I remember the random dude proposing to this cheerleader? But I remember the same thing.
Yeah. Funny story about that. I actually remember watching that game and almost leaving because Boise State's quarterback threw a pick six late, and I thought, well, they had a good run. I think I'm going to go out and take a walk. I'm like, I'll just stick around and watch the end of that game. And boy, was I glad I did. So there we go. All right, let's see. Now we get the Monday Moaning tweets.
So a couple of brutal ones this week. We'll start off with this one from Brandy Parker. Played Todd Gurley, got 17.8 fantasy points. Thought I had the league's number one running back.
Yeah, I mean, look, you weren't going to sit Todd Gurley because, Todd Gurley. But, against the Bears, it was always in the realm of possibility.
Stick with the Rams here. M. Boucher wrote Goff -6, lost me my matchup. Lamar Jackson in his place, but have won it handily.
-6, man, that must be
that's a rough scoring system.
That's really hard on interceptions.
Yep, man, that's a rough scoring system.
Go to defense now. From Faisal Morali said, I sat the Bears defense, started the Saints, 22 points on my bench.
Yep. I would have done the same thing. The Saints were a good play this week, and they ended up with a decent stat line, just the Bears went nuts.
Daniel Ramirez wrote, the only guy I held in my fantasy from beginning to end, I benched Kenyon Drake for LeSean McCoy, 0.1 points today when I needed 12 points to win my playoff matchup.
There's nothing you can do about that. McCoy obviously hurts his hamstring in the middle of the game. Drake has the miracle play to basically buoy what was a horrible game for him. There's nothing you can do.
Yeah.
AM Hubs wrote, I played Brandon Cooks over Amari Cooper.
Yikes.
I think I had Cooper ranked ahead of him, but they were close.
I don't know really how I feel about that one. That's a coin flip, and it just didn't go your way.
Yeah.
Then we can end with this one because it could lead into the conversation that's come up a bunch here on the show about kickers. Been in first place the entire season at 10-3, and in the first round of the playoffs, I lose by 1 point because of Greg Zuerlein's missed field goal.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, it was a bad day to be a kicker, unless your name was Mike Badgley, and I think Brett Mayer had a nice one, too, for the Pokes. So I still love kickers. I don't care what anybody says.
I think it's fine. I think what I don't understand, and I know we've talked about this, is that a kicker misses a field goal or an extra point, and everybody's like, ban kickers. And I'm like, that would be like if, Jared Goff threw 4 interceptions. We're not trying to ban quarterbacks. You know what I'm saying? So,
although some people may have hoped and wished that he was banned after that game last night that cost him.
At least for that week.
Yeah, for sure.
So, there you go. Quick note that just came across here. Harbaugh not committing to Joe Flacco as the starter. I really feel like John Harbaugh doesn't want to just come out and say, hey, Lamar Jackson's our guy. They want to keep kind of dancing around it. Like, just...
Well, because then defenses kind of have to, well, maybe they're going to use Flacco as well, preparation. But he's the dude.
Yeah.
He's the dude.
And, MRI, Eddie said?
Yeah, Ian Rapoport just tweeted Jordan Reed's going in for an MRI.
All right, well...
That happens.
Yeah, I know. It took until week 14, so... There you go. Let's see. Do we have any? I don't know if we have any Twitter questions or anything like that. Otherwise, we can just wish everybody luck as we get ready for week 2 of the playoffs. So that'll kind of wrap things up for us. As always, glad you're listening. Congratulations to you guys who made it through.
At some point, we should start doing, you know, way too early rankings for next year for all the folks who are no longer in the playoffs, so we can start kind of picking out who the quarterbacks, running backs, all that stuff are.
Yeah, we got keepers, all kinds of stuff.
We'll start doing all that probably next week.
What offseason?
Even if you are not in your fantasy playoffs, there's a reason for you to keep on coming back, other than listening to the sweet sound of our voices, because I know that that's is what gets you guys up in the morning. So that'll do it. As always, remember, friends don't let friends do stupid things alone. See you on Thursday.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.